in this series entitled Face to Face, Abraham. And we've been going through this series for over a year now. We've been following the life of Abraham. Last week, I talked about preparing for the test. Now I want to talk about passing the faith love test. And I'll explain that here in a minute, because one of the things we don't understand, or we should understand, is, or we may not understand, is the timing of the different tests that we have to take in life. I don't know about you, but preparation is key. But taking the test and passing the test of life is really what the objective is. Oftentimes, the content and the context and the reason for the test is not clear. Do I have anybody here who's going through a test right now? Maybe you're dealing with something. Maybe there's something that you're looking at in your life and you're wondering, why is this happening to me? Yet, what I realize is that all the tests that we will take in life amounts to our faith. I don't know if you've ever looked at it, but the more you grow, it seems like the more God trusts you with, the more faith is required in order to pass that test. I told you that Abraham at this point, imagine this, he had waited 25 years for this promise. Y'all know the Bible story, right? Y'all praying with me? Amen. Y'all realize, and we realize that, watch this, he waited 25 years. Sarah was barren. They made some mistakes along the way, right? Ishmael came out of the story, amen, because of their impatience. You see, there's a lot we've learned about Abraham, and there's a lot we've learned throughout this series, but when I think about the fact that you waited for something this long, you passed the people test, you passed a series of different tests, and then you ask yourself a question, Lord, why another test? Do I have anybody? And it's amazing because someone asked me, what is a faith love test, Pastor? What is that? It is the things that we love the most. Amen. Those are the things that God wants to know. Do you love it more than me? And I believe that that's really what it's all about. God wants to know in this life, do you love me more than anything else? And I believe that God is a jealous God. I don't know if you know that, but he is a jealous God. And oftentimes I think we forget this, because when we see ourselves so captivated by blessings, and we see ourselves so drawn in by the benefits of this Christian life, and then we stop forgetting who blessed us. See, oftentimes you ever been there? You remember when you were unhirable? You remember that? Anybody been down that road before? You had 2 degrees. Matter of fact, you had 3 degrees. And still you were unhirable. Do I have anybody? But when God opened those doors, for you, and look at you now, right? And it's amazing how people go through life oftentimes forgetting. Amen. I don't even think it's a forget thing. I just think it's a common thing that we take for granted that, you know what? I woke up this morning. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Oh, I got my good health and strength. Y'all trying to take me too fast. That's okay. That's all right. I'm getting happy. All right, we're going to get happy. God damn it. And so it's amazing to me that sometimes we lose ourselves. You know, I don't take for granted. I always say this. When I pull up in my house, I always say, God, thank you. I remember those days. Oh, you could have went there right there. I remember those days. Anybody remember those days when you couldn't pay your rent? Listen, when you were struggling, don't get too high where you forget the struggle. How many of you know the struggle is real? Anybody can say the struggle is real? You raised those kids by yourself. Come on and help me, somebody. And what I'm trying to say today is that when you get to a certain point in life, God is going to ask you to do something that seems so hard. Oh, sometimes there's some people you got to let go of. There's some places you're going to have to leave. You know, there's some stuff you're going to have to leave behind, stuff that you like. Come on, help me, somebody. That God says, listen, they ain't no good for you. You think they're good for you. They smile in your face all the while. Come on, help me, somebody. So, check this out. Abraham is here at this point. And I told you that you have to pass the people test, the peacemaking test, before you pass the faith test. And now you got to pass the faith love test. I told you that last week. I told you got to make sure that you know who's testing you. Everything ain't the devil. Lord have mercy. We're quick to blame. You know the devil say, I like when y'all call my name. I like when you blame me for things I've never done. Because that's who I am. I'm a conniver. I'm a deceiver. And I'm going to make you think it's the person next to you. I'm going to make you think, amen, it's the people, watch this, in your circle. See, Satan, that's how he works. He's a deceiver. How many know he's a deceiver? He's a liar. Watch this. But the Bible says he's the father of lies. And if Satan can make people the object of your problems, well, He takes you in a place where you think you take it personal and you think it's people, but all the while God says it's a test. Understand the difference. And I told you got to make sure that you answer the call for the test. But let's look at what God does next. Let's look at verse 22. Look at it with me. He said, now, take now your what? Your son. Your what son? Now, okay. We already know it wasn't his only son. Ishmael was his son. But there's something special about this son. Now, let me give you something from Christological eyes. The son is a representation of Jesus Christ. I just want you to know that. Just know this whole storyline shows you what Jesus did for you and I on the cross. God took his own, come on somebody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So I want you to see it with Christological eyes. Watch this, with Christ-like eyes, so that you can see it from that perspective that this son is Jesus. Amen. It's called in the Old Testament, that's what it's called. It's a Christophany is what it's called. In other words, they're showing you a picture of what Jesus was getting ready to do on the cross. Are you with me? And so God took his only son, and Isaac now took his only son. Watch this, the son of promise. And so the first thing I want to give you is this. Amen. Don't be surprised what God is asking you to do. I wish I had somebody. I'm going to say it one more time. Don't be surprised. If you're going to pass this faith love test, listen, don't worry. The things that you love more than God is what God wants you to answer, is what God wants you to release. Maybe the things that he wants you to give up are those things that you hold so close to you that you refuse to give up, like your money. Like your honey, like your bunny. I don't know. I'm just saying. Amen. But don't be surprised that God is asking us to release something. Amen. That's so close to you Watch this. But that's what God wants to see. Now, on Wednesday night, I read a scripture from the book of Luke. It says, no one, before he builds a building, does not first sit down and calculate the cost. The context to that, Jesus says, if you are going to be my disciple, you have to give up your mother, your brother, your husband, your children, your wife, and watch this, and follow me. And what Jesus was saying, he didn't say, he says to hate them. But what he was really saying, he says, I want you to love them less and love me more. I wish I had somebody. Can I ask you a question? Are you willing to give up what you love the most so that you can gain an eternal relationship with the one who can change your life? Do I have anybody here? I know it's hard. It's a tough concept when you think about it. But here's the thing, it's so easy to love him. And when you love him, you can love everybody else. When you can love God, you can love everybody else. What is God doing with Abraham? It's a love test. It's a faith love test. He says, Abraham, I gave you that son. As a matter of fact, I called you. I prepared you. And you had to wait. But now that you receive it, you know what happens when we receive stuff? What happens to us, y'all? We get a little lax. We get a little relaxed. We get a little complacent. Am I right about it? And so the text says, it doesn't, you know what? You know what I found out about God? It doesn't make sense all the time that he's asking me to give up something. Amen. So that I can gain something greater. You know what that is? A stronger relationship with him. Watch the text. He says, look what he says. He says, take now your son. I'm going to do one verse. Your only son. Look what it says now. See, there's a difference if it's a son you don't love. You can have him. I take him. He says, take now your son, your only son in whom you what? Love. It's interesting because when I look at this passage, I can see that parental love. I can see that how much they loved Isaac. That's why Ishmael needed to leave. Because watch this, there would have been a separation in this family right here. But watch this, he says, take this son. So the next thing you got to do to prepare for this test is don't love the blessings more than God. Mm-hmm. This love, he says, the very thing that he loved and waited for is the very thing that God identified. God didn't just say, take a son. He says, take the son that you what? Love. And can I say this to somebody here today? God wants to know today, do you really love him? And the true test of that love is that you're willing, watch this, to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. And can I tell you something? Sometimes the things you think that, see, sometimes we can't give up some stuff because we think that if we give it up, we're going to lose. We won't give up time for God. A lot of men won't come to church today because they feel like, I got to take care of my family. But if you take care of God, if you take care of God's business, if you serve God with all your heart, oh, let me help you with something. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The context to Matthew 6 is this. I will give you food, clothing, and shelter. But we already know in a panic situation, when things look bad, why is it that we can't trust God? Why is it that we panic Watch this. Rather than say, God, I love you, and because I love you and you love me, you will never leave me. Oh, come on, help me somebody. Nor forsake me. Can I help you with something? The Bible says this, I've been young, this David, and now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. What God really wants to know from us, do you love the blessings or do you love the blesser? Do you love the blessings or do you love me? Because when you love God more, you will see more blessings. See, what God is after, saints, is our motives. Like, do you love me? Like, I know I gave you this life. Listen, I know stuff may not always be good, but here's, I got 21 minutes. Don't worry about it. I'm almost done. Yeah. Watch this. What God wants to know is this. He wants to know, listen, do you love me? Do you love me? You know, when he asked Peter that question, he says, do you love me more than thee? He says, yeah, I love you. He says, no, what Peter says is, I like you. That's why he asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. And what Jesus was trying to establish is this. Jesus was saying, I agape you. Peter was saying, I Philadelphia you. You know what he was saying? Most of us, some of us, not all of you, we want a friendship with God. But do we want a relationship with God? I want a relationship. And you know what agape love means? It's sacrificial. It means that because I love you, I will give you my last. Oh, because I love you. Come on, somebody. I'll be loyal to you. Because I love you. Hallelujah. I'll sacrifice for you. Because I love you, I'll surrender my mind to you. I'll surrender my life to you. Do I have anybody here who really loves the Lord? And I'm talking about you really love him. That you're willing to lay down your life, take up your cross, and follow him. Abraham, give me this son. The son that you love the most is the son that God is asking back. I'm like, wait a minute. Is it the blessing or the blesser? And so look at the text. Is there? Oh, let's look at this piece. Watch this. Then he tells him, see, it's one thing to give up something, but then there's another thing to go give it up. Lord have mercy. There's one thing to give up something, but there's something else to go and give it up. See, you can have the idea of giving it up, but do you have the action of giving it up? A lot of us talk about what we're going to do, but do we do it? And watch this. God has been waiting on you. Listen, you've been searching and searching. You've been running and running. You've been coming up with all kinds of addendums. And God said, all you got to do is just go. Because your faith is really what's required. Watch this. Watch what he says. He says, now go to the land of who? Moriah. Uh-oh. Now, does anybody know what? Okay, let me see this. What does a Moriah mean to you? Okay, let me give you a Bible lesson real quick. You ready? Let me see. 48 seconds. Watch this. I'll give you 48 seconds lesson on Moriah. Moriah is Jerusalem. Okay? Now, when you look at pictures of Jerusalem, if you Google it, Israel, you'll see a dome, the Dome of the Rock. That Dome of the Rock is the place where Abraham is about to take Isaac to be sacrificed. Oh, I hope you're seeing the picture. What happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago? Come on, help me somebody. Moriah is surrounded by seven mountains. Wait a minute. Let's look at the text. The text says, go to the land of Moriah and what? Offer him there as a what? Oh, I ain't going there yet. offer them there as a what? Burnt offering. All right, I got ahead of myself. I'll give you the rest of the story of Moriah in a minute. Watch this. Go there and offer him up as a what kind of offering? Does anybody know what a burnt offering is? A burnt offering was a sacrifice that a person would give that was, watch this, that was required by the law to take away your sins. Oh, my goodness. And so the next thing you got to know if you're going to pass this faith test is this. Don't be surprised what you have to give up as a sacrifice. Are you with me? Don't be surprised. God is asking you to give something that hurts. Oh, don't miss this. See, the idea of giving up your son you love is one thing. But in Abraham's mind, do you know what they did when they took an animal and sacrificed it? Do you want to know? They kill it. All right? The blood is drained because, watch this, the blood is what covers the sin. What? This is Jesus right here. This Isaac is a type of Christ. Watch this. Then what they do, they lay it on the altar and they blaze it up, barbecue. They blaze it up. And the aroma goes up to God to satisfy the atonement for our sin, for the person offering the sacrifice. And so what I'm saying to you today is God is telling Abraham, and Abraham in his mind, can you imagine God says, go kill your child? Let's just talk plain English. What you think about that? What would go through your mind? This got to be the devil. Oh, y'all ain't trying. Everything that comes to you ain't always from the devil. Because don't be surprised what you have to what? Give up as a sacrifice. Listen, a sacrifice cost you something. Here's how I know when I'm giving, if I'm really sacrificing. It doesn't hurt me. I can just do it. All right, what, you need what? I got that. But here's how I know it's a sacrifice. Because it hurts. Why does God want this sacrifice? Because he wants Abraham to know there's nothing more important than me. You love this boy. He's about 15, 16 years old now. You love him. As a matter of fact, you may even idolize him. What is God asking you to sacrifice? Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's something that's hindering you from going to that next level in your life. God would set times for this to happen. The burnt offering was an important sacrifice because it made atonement for the sins of the person. Now watch this. He says, now I want you to do now is I want you to go give him as a burnt offering. Imagine. This is in your mind you start thinking about, watch this, they would give up animals for sacrifice. Oh, Lord have mercy. Now God is asking him to give up his son as a sacrifice. And remember, the nations around them would do child sacrifice. Watch this. Abraham had been converted now for 25 years. He used to be a pagan offering sacrifices. So now when Abraham looks at this now and he's saying, hold on, God, you've been asking me, you told me that you promised me that I would be, my descendant would be great. Come on, watch this. He told me that you would give me a child. You did that. I had to wait 25 years. You told me that my descendants would be great. You told me that my descendants would be like the stars of the sky. You told me that I'll be blessed. But now you're asking me to sacrifice the very thing that will bring that promise together. I'm trying to help somebody. It will never make sense when it comes down to God and how he does things. And that's why I'm saying to you, don't be surprised. God may ask you to give your last, but it's not going to ever be your last. It may be the very thing that will take you over to the other side of your blessings, where God will show you that I am greater than anything on this earth. But you have to trust me and believe me that when I ask for something, you're willing to give it up. Do I have anybody here? You need a mind change. You need a mind change. You need a heart change so that you can take the very thing that you've been holding on to and say, God, here it is. Whatever you want, here I am, Lord. But before I sacrifice anything, here's my life, Lord. I lay down my life for you, Lord. I sacrifice my mind, my heart, my time, my talents, my treasures, whatever you need, because I realize that what is to come is greater than what is, because you are God and you brought me this far by faith. Come on and thank him today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised what you have to give up as a sacrifice. You want to know what it is? The thing you love the most. You know what that requires? Faith. I don't know what that is for you. I don't know who you've idolized. I don't know who you've put on the pedestal of your life, but God put you here today to hear this message and say, take it down. Tear down that stronghold. Tear down those high places and bring it to the altar and lay it at the altar. And watch this. I will transform your life. The things you can't change, why are you worrying about it? Come on now. I got one more point. Look what he says at the end. On one of the mountains of which I tell you. Now, this is a general statement. God says Moriah. Okay? So imagine God said, I want you to go to Mexico. And that's all he said. There are seven mountains. As a matter of fact, Moriah is in the valley. If you don't know, Jerusalem is not a mountain, it's a valley surrounded by seven mountains. Lord have mercy. And so the last thing you need is this. This is key. This is key. Some of you trying to figure out your life. You're trying to figure things out. And you keep running to the same mistakes over and over again. And it's simply because you lack discernment. You say, what is discernment? The ability to key into the things that God has already planned for you, but it's actually seen clearly by you. Discernment. Discernment gives you what? Direction. And when you have direction, oh Lord, guess what? Nobody can stop you. You can get to the place where God wants you. Do you know what the word Moriah means in the Hebrew? The name Moriah means God is my teacher. Tell your neighbor discernment. How do I gain discernment, Pastor? Studying the Word of God. You're not looking to be hyped. You're looking for content that you can carry out here and live out in your life. So if he's telling him to go to the place where God is my teacher, what do you think God was trying to say to Abraham? Abraham, if you do what I ask you to do, I'm going to teach you how great I am. And I want to say to somebody here as I close, God will teach you, but you got to show up for class. If you've ever had a police car pull behind you with lights on, you know what happens, right? You get nervous. Stomach start hurting. Start sweating. Heart start pounding. Even if you get a bit of relief when the car pulls out to the side of you in pursuit of someone else, it can take a moment before your emotions get in line with the facts. We can't always depend on emotions. We have to stick to the facts. When it comes to a Christian living, we must learn to rely on the truth of God's word for direction, not relying on our emotions. God did not tell Abraham to do something out of emotion. Abraham responded on the facts. You know what the facts are? I've been walking with Jesus for 25 years. And guess what? He has never failed me. I'm saying to somebody here today, I know it can get tough sometimes, the way it looks. But you have to deal in facts. God has never let you down. So if you're here today and you need prayer, I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for you if you need prayer this morning. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, you know what? I heard the word. I believe in the altar. I just believe it. I don't believe in commercial church. I believe that when you come to church, you came here for something specific. And if you leave here not getting it, then something is wrong. But maybe you're here today and maybe